Why do you think Flavor Flav? This is, you know, that's what?
Interesting.
When I saw this, I immediately started laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Why you think Flavor Flav sponsors the U.S. women's water polo team? I want you to tell me what you told me off air.
I think he was a dirty old man watching the event on television and saw them asses glistening in the water and was like, wow. And then he saw an article where they were struggling for financial support, having to work odd jobs and certain training. Yeah. And I think that's why he got involved. But initially, I think it was from a sexy point of view.
You think he had an underlying motive?
I think that's one of the sexiest sports in the Olympics, women's water polo.
I never really pay attention. And they really got to be in shape, really, if you think about it. They working out in the water.
I mean, muscles.
Muscles, cardio.
Perfect.
Cardio, everything. Cardio. Natural.
Yeah. I mean, they're constantly swimming back and forth. And then when you're not swimming, just to wade in the water is exercise underneath.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's constant movement.
You're getting to everything. Cardio, you're getting, like you said, the muscles, you're getting the.
Yeah.
Dude, so I think he's doing it. I didn't even know that he sponsored
him. What's embarrassing is that
they have to even that they, he they had to even go do there. That. Yes.
Flavor Flav should not have to spend his personal money on the United States Olympic
program. That's crazy.
I'm sorry. There's That's too much crazy. Money that we yes. give away every month to foreign countries that we should be putting in our own.
Right.
That's right there.
Charity start at home.
Gosh.
And spread the broad.
Jeez. Yeah. How embarrassing is that?
Come on, United States. Come on, Olympic Committee.
Yes,
somebody.
Do better than that.
Somebody. Sponsors.
Yes.
Jeez Louise. My We're sponsoring God. Other stuff that's insignificant instead of sponsoring
our own.
Yeah. The seeds in the apple, dude.
Seeds in the apple, man. Yeah.
Listen, dude.
All right. This is another Mixed Pod episode. We want to thank our supporters. This Mixed Pod episode is a compilation of some of the best moments from on and off the field. We hope you enjoy this special episode of On and Off the Field Mixed Pod.
So look, class clown segment.
Class clown, let's laugh.
You know, always, listen, I love our segments, y'all. Yeah. And listen, he'll send an email to me. I'll browse over it, but I try not to read the class clown segment joke because I don't want to get myself ready for it. But I guarantee you, one of two things I know. One of them going to be about a Dallas Cowboy, and the other one going to be about a Seattle Seahawks.
And we're going to start off with them.
Yes. All right, did you hear that Dak Prescott's chronic choking is covered by Obamacare? That's a good one. The whole franchise.
What's the difference between a Seahawks and a dollar?
What's the difference?
You can get four quarters out of a dollar.
That's good. I give it up. I was standing on the mound when my pants turned brown. Diarrhea, plop, plop, diarrhea.
I was sitting on a bench and my butt cleat started to clench. Diarrhea, plop, plop, diarrhea.
When you're at the Dollar Tree and your butt begins to pee, diarrhea, plop, plop, diarrhea.
When you're feeling number two and it comes out. Out like chocolate stew, diarrhea, damn. Plop, plop, diarrhea. Right, so before we call,
yes,
we want to do we're going to start off with a Yoda moment.
We got to do, listen, and I'm going to tell y'all something. This is what I want to give y'all the real deal Yoda moment.
The real deal Yoda moment.
So listen. All right, listen again. Let me preface this by saying we never practice the Yoda moment. It is not pre-recorded. We haven't spoken about it, right, Coach?
That's right. All right,
let's go.
Okay. Discuss a specific story or passage in the Bible that has personal meaning to you.
Discuss a personal passage a passage in the Bible that has personal meaning to me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the Bible says that it introduces David as a man after God's own heart. That passage is personal to me because, one, because that's really the call of my life. I'm a modern day David. The way my life is gone and it's going, the ups and the downs.
So
that the reason it's personal is because I'm living the David life. I am his life, literally. The mistakes I've made, the good choices, the bad choices, the ups, the downs. I'm talking about the betrayal, the befriending, everything that David lived. And in all of that, those bad choices, the Bible says God himself testified that David, when God says this, he said, that man right there is a man after my own heart. When no man said that, God said that.
About David.
Yes.
Right.
You rarely see where God testified. God himself testified, not a man. The voice of God testified, said, that's David. He's a man after my heart. That's heavy. So that for me is personal because I'm out of my mistakes, out of my choices, good and bad. And I'm stressing this because it's really, I didn't even know what this was about.
Right.
And I'm living the David life now. And that it is synonymous of my life. That's why.
Where will we read about David? What passages?
And you read about him in 1st and 2nd Samuel.
Okay.
He's introduced actually in those books.
Okay.
He actually comes in to the, on the Bible scene as like a 15 year old ready dude.
Okay.
Like this little ready dude, 15 years old, look good.
Right.
You know, very got a zeal, very athletic, very well spoken. And so, but he was on the backside of a mountain tending stinky sheep. That was the unpopular job. They put him, they hid a jewel. That's what he was the epitome of a hidden jewel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But the prophet, God sent the prophet to call him out. He said, bring him. That's who I want. So he was a man after my own heart. So that's when, for me, it's personal.
Wow.
I didn't mean to make that.
No, that's so awesome, man.
That's why. That's
Yoda. Yeah, give us some rock and roll, man.
We got the Yoda dance. Bam. Y'all don't understand. We doing the Yoda dance right now. And we going to patent the dance.
Yoda.
We got to get one more. Shout out to Yoda, man.
That one.
There you go. She going to like that a lot. Mary's Nerd.
Nugget Fun Facts. Yes. You'll like this.
All right.
The term happy hour.
We got some history coming here.
The term happy hour comes from the U.S. Navy.
Shout out. Salt Life. Let's go.
The term was first used in the U.S. Navy during the 1920s when sailors were given the time to wind down with recreational activities and take a break from the toils at being at sea.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so how they got happy hour from.
So let me say this. I have to share an experience, right?
Yeah.
So we had something similar to that. Say if you were out to sea, right? If you were out to sea over 90 days,
right?
A few things they did. If you ever did 90 days without seeing any land, they would give you one beer.
The Navy will.
Yes. You get a beer. They would give you a beer. After 90 days.
At least they could do.
Yes. At least they could do. Yeah, yeah. Another thing they do, they give you, they have a pool call. They get to a certain part of the ocean where it was safe.
Right.
And they let you jump in the water.
Nice.
They would jump in the freaking water.
In the ocean?
Yes.
Did you?
I did it once.
Which ocean?
The Med.
Huh?
A part of the Mediterranean.
Mediterranean. Yes. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Man, that's beautiful.
Yes.
That's a travel through your eyes, man.
You know what else, too? I have actually swam. Is it swam? Is that the
swam.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Swam. Okay. From
you can use any type of vocabulary. You can swam.
So just something I thought about. Having been in boot camp, leaving that boot camp, becoming a SAR swimmer, search and rescue, I trained with Navy SEALs. So in training with Navy SEALs, we had to swim. I was in Orlando. So we trained down there in Florida. So in that body of water, I was there in the Gulf. And, you know, I swam in it.
Wow.
Literally. Some shark infested. But they put bays, what they call net bays up.
Okay. Yeah.
So we swim in a certain area. But I touched it, dude.
Nice.
Yeah, I can say that. Thanks to the U.S. Navy.
Shout out.
Yeah, that was a good. That was a good. Man's mode.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Shout out to you for that. All right. All right.
What is your favorite meal of all time? You need a last meal. Ooh. What do you want?
Last meal.
You sit down. Describe what's on your plate.
Okay, I'm gonna have a little fried catfish. Mm-hmm.
That's what's up.
A little mac and cheese.
Ooh.
With collard greens.
Ooh.
Yams.
Ooh.
And some red Kool-Aid.
Oh, listen.
And I'm a die happy man.
I love it.
Listen, I need that plate right now.
All right, this is called the Travel Through Your Eyes segment. Got two parts.
Okay.
First part, describe your favorite local beach on the Gulf Coast. And two, describe another place you've been that where you had to use your passport.
Okay, Pensacola, hands down. Love Pensacola Beach.
Yeah, that's
they got the boardwalk right there.
Yeah.
You can get your bushwhacker up there at the dock and walk down, get in the water, cool off. Wow. And you get to watch some crazy tattoos because that's where the military base is down there.
Right.
A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The water's beautiful. Do passport for what? To UC a beach?
Well, any places you've gone that you want to talk about that you had to use a passport?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I go to Mexico almost every year to Isla Mujeres, beautiful place off Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Italy. I've been to Paris. I've been to Belgium. I've been to England.
Just to name a few, huh?
I like travel. I do.
I see.
I like that part of it. Health is wealth.
Absolutely. You know, I got to give a hand clap for that, bro.
Because health is wealth. And when we did the whole who said it first.
Right.
We did it. You can find him on and off the field. I'm telling you, we cover everything,
everything.
Y'all, both sides of the ball.
So a Facebook friend of mine posted this, and I kind of quoted what she had said. She said, "What are you doing to keep the engine light from coming on?
Ooh.
I think a lot about physical fit level I can maintain until the casket drops." So the question becomes not only maintaining, but how can you take your exercise routine up a notch?
For me, and I was just talking about this the other day. So I told you one of my goals on the pull-ups, which I told you, was to get to be able to do 15 clean pull-ups.
Yes.
Full range of motion. I accomplished that. So I could do 15 clean range of motion pull-ups. Now, what I do now is I go to another variation of the pull-up. Not just regular, you know, shoulder width pull-ups. Now I go either close hand or, now what I told you, off air, I told you I'm going to L-sit pull-ups.
Right.
Which you lift your legs, make yourself an L, and then do pull-ups. So that's what I'm doing now. So I want to master that variation of the pull-up. So the answer to the question is, whatever, like with push-ups, you master regular push-ups, you go to a different variation.
Right.
Wides,
right.
Or diamond, you know, whatever, however you want to do them, you know, Sphinx push-ups.
Yep.
So I think is whatever exercise you're doing, when you get to a certain level, then you branch out, you go to another variation of it.
And if you're just starting with one push-up, you just do one push-up, and then at some point you can do two push-ups.
You can do two push-ups.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, there's no comparison. And
no.
You have to have a starting point.
Right.
And each person's starting point is different.
It's different. Yeah, right.
That's correct.
And you know, we share close stories with that, because we talk about health almost every day.
Right.
We either give me an update on yours. You say, "Coach, I did 5 pull-ups today."
Man, I'm getting it in.
I did. See? Right. And like, so I remember when I first started doing pull-ups, I couldn't do but 1 or 2 pull-ups.
That's what I did. I did one
struggling
pull-up. And I struggled. I was like, "Oh, wow, that's embarrassing."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it felt like somebody had hit me in the back of my neck, in the back of my back with a paddle. I said, "What the world?"
When I got that one that was over there.
Motivation.
Right.
And self-discipline, too.
Yes.
We talked about that.
Right.
It takes that self-discipline, especially when you master, like I said, I wanted to get to 15. I could have been like, "Oh, you know what? I got to 15. I'm going to chill out." No.
No.
You gotta go pushing to another variation.
Right.
I told you with this, the Bible says that our bodies were fearfully and wondrously made.
Mm-hmm.
Wondrous are your works, O God, and my soul knows this very well.
No doubt.
So God made this. So if God made this vehicle, you know what I want to do? I want to see how fast this vehicle can go. I want to see how much this vehicle can take. I want to see how much pressure I can put this vehicle under, because God made it.
That's right. And another point to that is, you can go the opposite. Sometimes when you're working out, you've got to take the foot off the gas pedal.
That's a good point.
You got to take off. You got to rest.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stretch.
Right.
Take some days off. And if you're lifting heavy all the time, sometimes you need a day of lightweight.
You need a day or two.
Yeah, a day or two.
I'm telling you. So I found that too. So I do like 4 days a week working out with my regiment. you know, the details included, but like maybe 5 days, but then I get, you know, 2 days off. You know what I mean? Sometimes sure. I take 3 days off.
Sure.
Yesterday, I just went out back, and then we're going to move on. Yesterday, I just went out back, you know, my rack on the back.
Right.
I just was out there with the dogs, and I pull up. I just went up there, just did 5 pull-ups. It wasn't nothing, bro. So shout out, bro.
Hey, all right. But before we move on, look, for the listeners, challenge yourself. Mm-hmm. Start one day. Start a weekly challenge. Start a one-day challenge. Start a monthly challenge. Start a yearly challenge. Start. Tongue twister segment.
You gonna do it?
No, yes, you.
Okay, all right.
You're just one smart fella.
All right. Now, I hate to do this, Nigel, but you're gonna have to follow me on this one, okay? It's a tongue twister.
Or you can sing it. Can he sing it?
I'm gonna say it and see if he can sing it.
Okay.
All right, I'm gonna say it. It's like this. We're gonna go 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, but I'm gonna do it either. 1 smart fellow felt smart. 2 smart fellows felt smart. 3 smart fellows felt smart. 4 smart fellows felt smart. And they all felt smart together.
Okay, so, all right, let me try speaking first.
1 smart fellow felt smart. And then you go 2, 3, 4, 5. 1
smart fellow felt smart.
Uh-huh.
2 smart fellows felt smart. 3 smart fellows felt smart. 4 fart.
4 fart. Okay, that was good, though. He got out of work before.
You did good.
You did better good. Than some of the other guests.
Should I try to sing it now?
Yeah, say it, yeah.
1 smart fellow felt smart. 2 smart fellow felt smart. 3 smart fellow felt smart. 4 smart fellow felt smart.
Yes!
Yes! Oh, that was difficult. That was challenging. That was hard.
That was awesome! Oh my goodness.
Yes.
You may need to sing everything. You won't get nothing wrong.
Oh my goodness.
That was awesome.
This is a truth or dare game.
Uh-uh.
Truth or the dare. Have you?
Oh wow.
So pick truth or dare.
You got to pick.
I'm standing in my underwear in my kitchen right now. If I have to go outside, my neighbor who's used to it. It's okay.
So you go, would you pick a dare? Are you picking truth? Why did you tell him he was in your underwear?
I want to do dare.
All right. So Gina Jones in her underwear doing this dare. Sing a sexy version of Happy Birthday, Mr. President, like Marilyn Monroe did JFK.
Oh, he got you, Gina.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you. I got no shame.
I love it.
Oh my goodness. It sounded good too, Gina.
Anyway, two thumbs up segment. What movie have you watched too many times?
Predator.
The first one?
The first one.
Fire. That's the best
one. And I love it. And I love it
get
every time
chopper.
I
see
it.
I'm going to have me so far.
You cussing this motherfucker. Okay, who you are in the real world? You cuss him just one more time. I'll bleed you here real quick, real quiet. Baby.
You are one ugly motherfucker.
Shout out. I love it.
All right.
Coming out the tunnel.
So this is, you started this coming out the tunnel.
Right.
And my first tunnel experience, I think I was about 8 or 9.
Okay.
And my dad was a coach at Montclair State.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be, you know, tagging along. And so I went from the coach's office to the locker room and to the area where the team gathered before,
right,
before the game.
Right.
And I'd seen all these guys for, you know, practice and, you know, after locker rooms and, you know, the showers and stuff. I was like the team mascot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd always see smiles and I'd watch them practice and stuff.
Right.
So the coach gathers them up and all of a sudden, you know, you hear screams. And, you know, guys are just kind of like, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, what's going on? And so you hear this, like, pregame speech, and so the coaches leave, and the guys are just start banging each other. You know, their helmets are hitting each other.
Specify when you say they're banging each other.
They're taking their fists and banging their shoulder pads against one another.
Okay, I see that.
Boom, yeah. And they're doing headbutts. You know, and you didn't hear guys are going, fuck! Get their fucking ass on the side of my face! And I'm looking at this motherfucker like, what the hell is going on? So they walk out right before to the edge of the stadium where you could hear the crowd.
Right.
And, you know, you could hear like this intensity. And all of a sudden you could hear like we had turf. So they had like, you could hear like the pat, pat.
Right.
And they was like, let's go, kiss my fuckers. Yeah,
you can hear that cleat.
When they took the field, I was just like, wow, what the fuck just happened, you know?
It was crunk, though.
Crunk. They were crunk.
See, that's what I'm saying. Let me tell you something. I would pay money. I would have bought a ticket to be at a Ray Lewis pregame speech. Yeah. You hear me?
I've had some of those in college and high school.
But Ray Lewis, dude.
Yeah.
Imagine being
some of those guys are.
Oh, Ray Lewis used to have a big 300 pound men crying in there.
Right.
Yeah, Ray, we're gonna kill him.
Get him, Ray.
You tell him, Ray. He had big dudes crying, bro. Ray wasn't no joke. Mm-mm. So that's why I want to experience the tunnel experience. I think about
Joe. Let's stop right here.
All right,
I'm glad you said that.
Okay.
So this part is part two of coming out the tunnel.
Okay.
Now, we talked about, as an athlete.
Okay.
You as a pastor.
Ah.
Before Easter Sunday, packed church, you sitting in the back. Tell us about that before you come onto the podium. What's going through your mind?
First of all, boy, that's so good. First of all, I got the playbook from Coach God. He already gave me the playbook.
Okay.
The night before. He right. gave me the playbook, the scripture. I call that the playbook.
Right.
He told me how to run it, what play to run, what to say by the Holy Ghost. So I'm crunk off of that. So I'm recycling the playbook through my mind, just like a good quarterback.
Right.
Recycling the playbook. Don't want to disappoint Coach.
Right.
Because he's watching. Literally watching. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Got a whole field perspective. So I'm running the playbook through my head, praise and worship going on. The music is there. So, you know, I love music.
Yeah.
So the combination of me running the playbook and the music, it's like a locker room because, if I'm not mistaken, they have music in the locker room.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So I had the praise and worship is my locker room music. In my head, I'm running the playbook. I'm trying to praise and worship, but thinking about running the play. So I'm so crunk. So by the time I get up there, I have to, you know, ask God to calm me down. You know what I mean? So I don't be in my emotions. Because, you know, a lot of pastors won't admit it. They get emotional. You know, they get up there and they start making sounds and doing stuff that's not God.
Right.
You know, I heard a pastor get up there, you're going to laugh. It's embarrassing, dude. That's why I can't sit in some church. He got up there, he was like, he's good. He literally did that. He literally did that. You should Google it. I said, man, what are you doing, bro?
Right. That is not.
That's not. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. So for me, my pregame before I preach is the God just running through me like adrenaline.
Right.
So by the time I get up there, I have to calm down. So I don't do that. That ass. Right. What is that doing?
Exactly.
How that's gonna help a man struggling with masturbation?
Right.
He coming to church trying to get delivered. You you gonna have him go home? Come on, bro. Yeah. Olympics. We talked the other day, right? Talked about some testing. Details.
Yes.
Talked about some details in the Olympics.
Yes.
So, I wanted to know with the medal count. We dicked the medal count, but then I was interested to know how much
what they get.
Yes.
So I think the United States gets 37 5 for gold.
Yes. 22.5 for silver.
15 and 15 for bronze.
Right.
But what's interesting is the other countries.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's start from the bottom. Norway.
Good, yeah.
Okay. They don't get nothing.
They'll get zero.
straight politics.
So Norway, but is Norway a poverty-stricken country?
No. But theirs is more for country pride. That's what it is. I would imagine, like we had just talked about, that there's some sort of benefit, but it's not going to come in an official term of you get paid this amount.
Other perks.
Other perks.
But that's sad, though, for Norway. All right. Singapore. Singapore gives $737,000 for gold.
How many gold?
Zero. They don't have any gold medals. So they're safe.
They might want to say $1 billion. We're going to pay you $1 billion for a gold medal.
They have zero gold medals in the gold medal count. Okay. Taiwan. They give $716,000?
Yeah.
So
I don't think they have any gold either.
They don't. They don't. So, all right. Kazakhstan.
Okay. Congratulations. For winning a gold medal in a 3-bedroom house. So they give real estate in Kazakhstan.
So they get a 3-bedroom house for gold.
Two bedrooms
for silver. And 1 bedroom for bronze.
Probably. You think a cow comes with that?
A camel.
So this is our new segment. It's called The Arts, thanks to you. Can you sing a song in another language? Give us a snippet.
Okay, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Would you guys like German?
Let's do German.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Ich liebe dich so wie du mich. Am Abend und am Morgen, noch war kein Tag, wo du und ich nicht teilten unsere Sorgen.
Wow! Listen. Could you put Nigel back on the phone now? How do you change your voice? You going 2 or 3 octaves lower than right. You talk. I'm a musician myself, so I know about octaves. So your voice, you speak on a tenor level. Your voice speaks on a tenor level.
Right.
But you drop, but when you sing, you go 2 octaves down.
Mm.
That is amazing. Yeah. You know, when you were singing that, I'm going to be honest, in my mind, I'm a visual person. And when you were singing that, I saw a submarine down underwater with some Germans walking around going to war. I could see that when you were singing, dude. I could see Red October, the hump of Red October. Sean Connery, they on the hunt. That was awesome.
Yes, awesome.
Thank you so much.
So let's follow up to the What If episode.
Mm-hmm.
My pop sent me a text this week.
Okay.
And he said that at his 50th class reunion.
Uh-huh. Oh, man.
He found out that 30% of the boys in his class died in Vietnam.
Yeah.
30%.
That is a lot.
That's a lot. That Ruth Scott lady was sending a lot of brothers to Vietnam.
You know, this really saddens me because I look at it like this, from this perspective. How many fathers, how many doctors, how many lawyers, how many business owners, how many
whatever they wanted to be
right.
in life.
Right.
That they we missed. The world missed 30%.
How many families?
How many
neighborhoods?
We could start just from, and I'm starting from the individual, you know what I mean? From the individual standpoint, because from them would come families, some of them would come businesses, mm-hmm. Neighborhoods, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Presidents.
I know.
Like.
But you wonder, at that same time, there were two schools. You wonder, and this was 68. So
right, that's where I was born.
You wonder what percentage of the other school went to Vietnam.
Hmm.
That'd be a good question to ask.
You're right. Yeah. You mean unseasoned chicken?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. It wasn't a lot of...
Because
know,
that was a... That
most
was
of the chicken that was over there was seasoned.
One of the things that they talked about Vietnam was the unfairness of the number of blacks that were sent to the front line. In the draft.
In the draft, right.
Yeah. It was the percentage was very, very
staggering.
Much. Yeah, staggering difference.
Dude.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Bro. That's heavy. So, and your pops, the fact that he, you told me he said that, I wonder how that affects him. You know what I mean? To know.
Well, it was something that he didn't really think about until he heard.
The what if.
The what if show. What if,
man.
And then he was like, wow.
What if.
What if, you know. Another new segment.
All right, I gotta give you a
Nuka. You gonna like this?
Green flags.
Green flags.
Not red.
Flags. Not red flags.
Yeah.
But green flags. These are people that celebrate your wins.
Ah, oh, boy, you on point. Pause, please. listen, audience. I'm telling you, I just grazed over the script. Just grazed. The stuff that he's bringing up is. Crazy. Is it seriously? Go on. I just want to give you props.
These are people that celebrate your wins. They remember small things about you.
Ooh.
They respect your boundaries. Ooh. You feel energized after seeing them. You don't have to watch what you say. Iron sharpens iron. Green flag. Those are people that, yeah. But those are people you want in your corner.
On my 50th, I recorded the 50th yes. episode. What was the name of it?
Iron
sharpens iron. Yeah. And what did I say? I'm surrounded by brothers mm-hmm. that build me up.
Yep.
We build each other up. Our conversations are wholesome.
Yep.
When you call me and say, hey, coach, I did 5 pull-ups. I'm like, bruh, that's what's up.
Right.
When I tell you, hey, coach, I'm on a weighted vest, not doing you know, whatever the accomplishment is.
Right.
Even if it's something about your business. Hey, man, I got boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Man, that's what's up.
Right.
Keep going.
Keep going. Motivation.
We motivate each other.
Right.
I love being around people that appreciate and not tolerate.
Facts.
I don't want to just be tolerated. Facts. I want to be appreciated.
Facts.
And you can tell the difference.
Shit.
Oh, you can tell the difference. Shout out, man.
Shout
that's
out.
Red flag segment. Red flag segment. All right. All right. So now, listen. Lance wrote this. This is my disclaimer. All right. When you check your email, Gina. Right. Say you check your email,
mm-hmm.
and you have one message in that email, and it's from Michael White. Do you open it or delete it?
I'll open it. I want to see what he's got to say.
It might be a picture.
It might be a picture.
I mean, I'll close it if it's not good.
hey, can you?
Yeah.
What's your take on that, lightly, real quick?
Have you followed it
any?
I've seen some bits and pieces of it, and I hate that happened. I hope that's not true, and I hope he's falsely accused. But then again, I hope he's not falsely accused.
Mm.
Also,
wow.
I hate that for anybody.
All right, here's a pet peeve segment right quick before we get you out of here. What is your pet peeve?
Ooh, oh my goodness. I'm so glad you asked this question. It's very strange. I have two pet peeves.
Okay.
The first one is one that only my sister could get out of me. She does this thing where she just pokes me over and over again, and I hate being poked. She'll come in my room when I'm doing absolutely nothing just to poke me and run out, and it grinds my gears. But I love her still. I love her to death.
All right.
And then the second thing is I really, I don't know if this is a pet peeve, but peanut butter, I think it's not a pet peeve, I think it's a phobia. peanut butter, or is this something I can't get behind?
Okay.
You don't eat it?
I love peanut butter.
Why don't you eat peanut butter?
I don't know. It's just something about the texture and about the smell. I don't know.
Do you feel like it may be detrimental to you? Like if you, like, you know what I mean? Or something like that?
But you know, with his voice, he may.
That's true. Do you think it's because of your voice?
Can't sing. That's a great question.
Can you sing? Try singing opera on peanut butter.
Subconsciously, it may be because of his voice, though. In the back of his mind, the peanut butter may be a turnoff because it may dampen your voice.
That's true. It could. If I had peanut butter before singing, I sound like,
Okay. You're awesome, man. It's been On and Off the Field, sports podcasting with a purpose. It's your On the Field coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation since 1976.
It's the Off the Field coach.
Yoda.
Since a week ago.
The infamous Yoda.